translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder of Acharya of ISKCON. Hare Krishna. The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best amongst all human beings. The rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary, he began to repent, saying, "Alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son." And he was awarded heavy punishment for his insignificant offense. For an insignificant offense. Purport. The king is the best of all human beings. He is the representative of God and is never to be condemned by any of his actions. In other words, the king can do no wrong. The king may order a hanging of a corporate son of a brahmana, but he does not become sinful for killing a brahmana. Even if there is something wrong with the king, he is never to be condemned. A medical practitioner still may kill a patient by mistaken treatment, but such a killer is never condemned to death. So what to speak of a good and pious king like Maharaj Parikshit? In the Vedic way of life, the king is trained to become a Rajasi, or great saint. Although he is ruling as king, it is the king only by whose good government the citizens can live peaceably and without fear. Rajasis would manage their kingdoms very nicely and piously, that their subjects would respect them as they were the Lord. That is the instruction of the Vedas. The king is called Narendra, or the best amongst the human beings. How then could a king like Maharaj Parikshit be condemned by an experienced, puffed up son of a brahmana, even though he had attained the powers of a qualified brahmana? Since Samaka Rishi was an experienced good brahmana, he did not approve of the actions of his condemned son. He began to lament for all that his son had done. The king was beyond the jurisdiction of curses, and as a general rule on what to speak of a good king like Maharaj Parikshit. The offense of a king, it was most insignificant, and him being condemned to death was certainly a great sin for Sringi. Therefore, Rishi Sunaka regretted the whole incident. Transcendental knowledge. So, in this purport, talking about the qualities of a brahmana. So we know in Bhagavad Gita 1842, it's Krishna speaks the qualities of a brahmana. Sama damas tapasu jam kanchada apta jam evacha janam vijanam avashyaktyam brahma kama svakajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and righteousness. Sorry, religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. So, Sringi's father, Shamukha Rishi, displayed all these qualities. Because, as we heard the other day, he comes from a very high lineage of brahmanas. But even though his son, Sringi, was a son of a brahmana, and even though he had attained the powers of a qualified brahmana, he was inexperienced, and Prabhupada said, a puffed up son of a brahmana. So, this is the of a brahmana. But now I'm going to mention another son of a brahmana who was higher than a brahmana. His name is Madhav Mangal. He was the only cowherd boyfriend of Krishna who was a son of a brahmana. The other cowherd boyfriends were sons of Vaishyas. And the difference between... there's a few differences, but the main one for me is the relationship between both, even though they're both son of brahmanas, Madhav Mangal's relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan was based on loving, friendly relationships. And Sringi's relationship, because brahmanas also worship Krishna, but in awe and reverence and follow so many rules and regulations. So Sringi's relationship with Krishna was based on the opposite, fear. Fear of not following the rules of the yogis properly, not following the standards of the yogis, pronouncing the mantras properly, because when these yogis, there would be like a referee. And if the mantra was not pronounced properly, the yogya had to be stopped and started again. So this is the difference, the relationship between Madhav Mangal and Sringi. The relationship is one is based on love, loving friendship, and one is based on fear. In other words, Sringi's was based on God-fearing, and Madhav Mangal's was based on loving, based on completely love. This is why he could tell. He was always joking with Krishna, Madhav Mangal, always joking. And so therefore, his Shamata Garishi, the father of Sringi, he was not happy with his son. In fact, it said at the end, it said it was considered a great sin for Sringi to do this. So we also know because he was also proud, Sringi. This also, when we, there's also a pride can come in when we know all these yajnas and mantras and everything like pride can come in. So Sringi was puffed up with pride. And Krishna has to deal with that pride. He has to smash it. So Krishna deals differently with pride. For instance, he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan with the letters of love from Dwarka to Nanda Maharaj, the gopis, and all residents of Vrindavan. That was the external reason. But the main reason he sent Uddhava was because Uddhava was a disciple of Braspati, and he was proud of his knowledge. He was a Jnani Bhakta. He did not know what actual love is. So he sent him to Vrindavan to show the example of the gopas, the gopis, and Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, what love is. And also to show that the mood of awe and reverence, Krishna does not accept that mood and awe of reverence. He only accepts loving of love, pretty. He loves pretty. Pretty is a Sanskrit word for love. So, Dinabandhu Prabhu had this little book. Last time I saw him in Vrindavan, he showed me this little book of all the cowherd pastimes. But it's not. It's somehow someone gave him a copy of all the pastimes of the cowherd boys. So this pastime shows how Krishna, accepts the awe and reverence. So after the Govardhan Leela, all the cows on one side of Govardhan Hill, there's one place called Sarabhi Kunj, and all the cows were there. And all the demigods decided, now we have to now worship Krishna, who was sitting on Govardhan Hill. So all the demigods came down to that place, and all the cows, seeing an elephant with four trunks, and seeing Nandi with Lord Shiva, and all the demigods with their different carriers coming down. A guy with four head, guys with four heads, like Lord Brahma. The cows were frightened and they ran off. So all the cowherd boys, they had to go and get the cows back. Apart from Mother Mangal, who was a cripple, according to Sastra, he had a limp, so he couldn't run. So he couldn't run away to get the cows. So Mother Mangal hid behind one bush nearby. And he watched the demigods perform aarti to Krishna, who was sitting on Govardhan Hill. And the aarti was pukka, perfect. Perfect circles, perfect mantras, everything was perfect. The conch, everything. But Krishna, sitting on Govardhan Hill, didn't budge an inch. Not one smile. Not one. So then, of course, the demigods, they offer with gold paraphernalia. But so once it's offered to Krishna, they left all that golden paraphernalia behind because it is considered contaminated. So then by that time, the cowherd boys came back with the cows. And they saw all this paraphernalia lying around. And then we know what cowherd boys are like. Very, could be very mischievous, very naughty. So then Mother Mangal comes and said, the demigods came, and he told them the demigods came and offering arti. So the cowherd boys said, okay, Krishna's still sitting on Govardhan Hill, so we can offer arti as well. So they started singing. The arti was not pukka. The instruments are played out of tune. They were singing out of tune. But Krishna was happy. Krishna was smiling and happy. And then, by that time, Nanda Maharaj, he could hear what was going on, but for the sound, the vibration of the kirtan and the arti. And with the Nanda Maharaj and the fathers of the other cowherd boys came and said, they saw this and said, what's going on here? He said, they explained that these beings with four heads came down and with animals and we ran away, the cows ran away. And Nanda Maharaj is thinking, these are naughty cowherd boys. You know what children are like. They're making all this up. But Mother Bungal said, no, it's true. Because you know I cannot run because of my limp. And then a voice said to Krishna on Govardhan Hill, he said to Nanda Maharaj, now Krishna, his son, was next to him. He said, now you can crown him Govinda. So this is how Krishna, he's more happy with devotees who, all right, we cannot imitate. When we sing our arti, when we do our artis, we should do the best, follow the rules and regulations. But internally, we should also be like, not imitate them, but follow in the footsteps of the Brijbasis. Externally, we follow the 4-3-2, the circles on the artis, and follow the procedure while doing offering the boga, and like this. But internally, we should be trying to please Krishna. And therefore, and also, there's another pastime where Krishna, he smashes the pride of his devotees. This is was mentioned to me. The source is the Mahabharata, the original Mahabharata, not the Krishna Dharma. With all respect to him, not the Krishna Dharma version, but the real Mahabharata was narrated to me by Brajanath Prabhu, who was my authority in the Dharmasevā office in Mayapur. So one time, all the at the, we know Kurukshetra is a very auspicious place. Solstice is there, I think, when Solstice was there. And everybody from Bharat went there, including the Brijbasis went. And the Dwarkabasis, they all went. So they had their own individual camps. So Krishna was wandering around. Because he was the king of Dwarka, he stayed in his camp. But then he noticed that some of the Dwarkabasis were proud because they were from Dwarka, and how they were dressed. So they were dressed in opulence. And they were looking at the Brijbasis from Vrindavan, seeing, these people, look at who are these people. They're just simple cowherd folk. You know, just look at them, you know. They're just, there's no words to describe them, you know. They're dressed skinny, they're dressed poorly, and like this. And they were really looking down at the Dwarkabasis were looking down at the Brijbasis. And Krishna could see there was some pride there. So then Krishna called over Yogamaya and whispered something in her ear. So the next day, there's a big crowd, and there's a crowd in, and the crowd's looking around, the Dwarkabasis, the Brijbasis, all the other, and in the middle is this cow sinking in some quicksand. And you know quicksand, you know, if you struggle, you go down quicker. So the Dwarkabasis are saying, oh, that poor cow, we want to save it, even though they were very compassionate to the cow. But they said, if we go in to that quicksand, we will also perish, because that cow will struggle and she'll go under quickly and we'll go under with her. So how can we save her? Then Krishna steps forward. He says, I know one person who can save this cow. And the Dwarkabasis said, who? Bring him, please. Krishna, please. Oh, my Lord, please bring him. It's okay. Then Krishna points to one skinny gopa. Old gopa, skinny like anything. So they just said, him? That skinny old gopa? Can save the cows? Yes. Okay. It was some, some sarcastic, you could say sarcastically. And he said, okay, let us see him save the cow. He said, okay, now, please save this cow. He calls this skinny old gopa. He said, so this skinny old gopa, he sits down and he chants a mantra. And with the mantra, the cow comes out the sinking sand and goes back on safe land. So Krishna had to smash the pride of the Dwarkabasis. Now, we can be the same. We can be proud of learning our sastra, learning slokas, proud of our singing, thinking, I'm the best singer, I'm the best kirtina, I'm the best pujari, like this, I'm the best cook. So it's also, we can be in the same position. We can learn so many slokas, read Prabhupada's books and like this. Of course, there's nothing wrong with learning slokas and reading Prabhupada's books. We have to. But the danger is we can be proud of it. The purpose of learning and reading Prabhupada's books is to love Krishna. This is the aim and goal of the Krishna consciousness movement, is to love and develop love of God. And we will not do it if we have this pratishtha pride in us. If we have this pride and pratishtha in us, we will never become Krishna conscious. We will and not go back to the spiritual world. The more humble we are, we have to be humble, and we know that we have to give all respect. We have to be lower than a blade of grass, more tall than a tree. So when we see a blade of grass, when I'm walking over to the house over there, I'm walking on the grass, and the grass stays flat. So we should always stay flat. But generally, when we walk on grass, sometimes grass come up again. No, we should always stay flat. Always stay down low. And if we're like that piece of grass that comes up again, that pride is there, singing. You know, I've been in this movement for so long. You know, like this, I'm senior devotee. All of these new bhaktas are juniors and like this. And no, we should see all devotees according to their level. Because we know there's three types of Vaishnavas. Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttam. So we know the Kanishta, they just see Krishna in the temple. And the Madhyam, one of the symptoms that they discriminate and they encourage the new devotees by being friendly to them. And so therefore, it's important that we become Vaishnavas and devotees. So what is a Vaishnava? Or the prime symptom of a Vaishnava is that and Vaishnavis, of course, Matsujis, of course, they have to be childlike. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have said, simplicity is Vaishnavism. We have to be childlike. Even in the Bible, it says, I think it's in Matthew, I can't be positive. But even Christ says, to enter the kingdom of God, you must be like a child. And a child simply accepts what the authorities say. Just like one time I was crossing a busy road in London, going for my visa, Indian visa. And there was an old gentleman with a young child. And the young child said, the old gentleman said, "Now, this young child, which I discovered afterwards, was walking across, was the grandchild of there was a grandfather and the grandchild. So the grandfather said, 'This is a busy road. Now hold my hand, and I'll take you across that road. And immediately the child simply said, "Yes, grandfather," and walked across. So from that I learned that we have to be like that. So we have a spiritual master who is holding up when we come across the busy road of material life. He's saying, "Now hold my hand and I will take you across the busy road of material life, and I will take you across the other side." This is the mercy of the spiritual master. So, and by that mercy, we can cross over the ocean of material suffering, and by that mercy only, we can go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Any questions or corrections or additions or comments, please? If there's no comments.
Thank you, Guru. Can you say something about what's the difference between being childlike and childish?
Childish means tantrums. Thinking, right, say, for instance, I'll give a good example. One time I was in Ujjain. And those who've been there, last time I was there, I think he knows, on the right-hand side, is the garden with the flowers, isn't it? Big garden with flowers. Yeah. As you're going in on the right-hand side. And it says there, in English and Hindi, "Please do not pluck these flowers. These are Krishna's flowers. Do not pluck." It's a big sign. So I was watching that one Sunday from the Brahmacharya Ashram, right at the top. A family come in, and they're just looking around the garden, around the flowers. And this 5-year-old boy, he said, because it was quite nearby, and he spoke in English, Mummy, I want one of these flowers, I want one of these flowers." The mother said, "No." He said, "These are Krishna's flowers. You cannot have, they have to be offered to Bhagavan on the altar." Then the boy has a tantrum. He said, "I want these flowers, I want these flowers, I want it. And then my mother tries to pacify her, or him. The mother tries to pacify, the child is having a tantrum. And eventually, the mother just dumps that child. And then the mother, sitting nearby, is crying. And then the grandmother comes. I take it as the grandmother. Said, "Oh, Edley, it must be her grandmother." I said, "What is the matter?" I said, "We try to." Then the mother explains to the grandmother. Then the grandmother goes over. And tries to explain. Even when the grandmother explains, the child's tantrums get even worse and worse and worse. So eventually, the grandmother the grandmother gives that child a little whack. I mean, a little whack. No, not a hard one. You know, in India they can do this. a little whack, you know. I said, do you want a tantrum? Okay. Pop. And walks off. And then once that child gets the whacks, that child stops having a tantrum and starts smiling. And everything's okay. So this is like being childlike. Because we can't get our own way, we get childish. Because that child couldn't get his own way to kick that flower, because this flower was one of these big sunflower. You've seen these big sunflowers. And because that child couldn't have that flower, he got childish and had a tantrum. So we can have the same. Because we cannot get what we want, we can have a childish attitude. But childlike means that child should have said, once that child should have accepted from the mother, said that child should have accepted the fact that that is Krishna's flower. That has to be offered for Aarti. So therefore you can't have. So that's the childlike. Anything else? If not, everything else is being understood. As Govind Raj would just say, if there's no questions, you've understood everything. So, okay. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Who?
Should you get any reaction for causing Maharaj Pariksit?
He said, apparently, according to this, there's some punishment. I don't know what it is.
I thought being a boy, you wouldn't get a reaction.
I do not know. I do not know.
Also, the father prayed to Krishna on his behalf to relieve him from his what he did.
Yeah. We said, yeah.
So from that point of view, if you take shelter of devotees or spiritual masters, you're under their guidance, then you're protected.
Yeah.
But if you're on your own, then it's difficult.
Yeah. Yes, David.
Thanks, thanks for the class, Doyle Bader. I was just wondering about the paraphernalia that was left by the demigods. That, if you know what happened with that paraphernalia, because naturally they would believe.
They just left it.
Yes.
They just left it. After demigods had finished a bit, and after the cowherd boys just finished it, they just left it.
Yes.
And what happens is, generally, this, what I've heard, then the sudras would come and take it. The sudras would come. And then they could either sell it or, you know, to maintain themselves.
Thank you.
That's what I've heard, so I don't know. That's it.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. You were speaking that we need humility to develop love of Godhead.
Yeah.
Could you explain how humility leads to love of God?
First of all, we have to be prideless, have no pride. So being humble, I was explaining yesterday somebody, humble doesn't mean just taking, for us, humble means we tolerate. We take everything that comes somehow as Krishna's mercy. You know, if you've got some health issue or something like this, we tolerate things like that. But humble doesn't mean just sitting there quietly. And for ourselves, yes, we take it. But when we see a Vaishnava or a devotee being abused physically, then we act. We actually go in and defend that devotee. If I see someone beating you up, well, you're on the street doing books, And some guy comes and roughs you up a bit. The devotee doesn't stand by and let you be roughed up. They get stuck in. They pull that guy away. They defend that. They defend you. This is humility as well, because that is also showing that they have love for you by actually you not being not roughed up. That means they have love for you. They care about you. So this is what humility is, or one part of it, and also not having no respect for ourselves, but giving all respect to others. As Lord Caitanya said, if we just wear this verse around our neck and learn this verse and put it into practice, and then we'll be humble. Is that okay? And in that way we can develop love of God. You know, there's many examples like Radhanath Maharaj. He's a very humble soul, very humble. He's very unintrusive personality. He's very unintrusive. But he's humble because he's like that. He's very unintrusive. Sometimes I don't hardly notice when he comes here. I don't hardly notice him because he's so humble. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Love. It means to love God, one must be humble. One has to love God. To love God, we have to be humble before the spiritual master. Because without the spiritual master's mercy, we can't do no anything. And without being humble before the spiritual master, then if we're humble before the spiritual master, then the spiritual master will give us his mercy, and then we can develop love of God.
Adding to that, I think also when we're humble, to be humble, we have to be selfless.
Yeah, selfless, yeah.
And when we become selfless, we just want to serve Krishna, and we don't want to serve ourselves. So I think that leads to love for Krishna, because we're not...
No, first we have to be selfless towards the Guru.
Mm.
First of all, selfless towards the Guru. Because you cannot become... First of all, you have to become Guru Das, then become Krishna Das. You have to. You cannot approach Krishna directly. You have to be selfless at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Because you cannot become Krishna Das unless he becomes one's Guru Das. But you are correct, yes. But first you have to become Guru Das first. Or Guru Dasi. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you. That was a wonderful Vrindavan pastimes, wonderful journey. I just want to ask you, where did you get those pastimes?
As I said, Dinabandhu, last time I was in Vrindavan, he took us on Parakrama. And he's got this little book. It's an old book that's... No one's got. There's only a few copies were made, and he got one of them. And the second one was from the Mahabharata, the original Mahabharata, not the the Krishna Dharma version, but the original, no, the 18, was it, where it is verses, where it is, yeah. That is, the second one is from the original Mahabharata. Because Bhajanath Prabhu, he's actually read that original Mahabharata as a boy. He read that, he remembered that. So is that it? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Dev ki jai.